shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow, lays the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children. Some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Many times we get ourselves in a place of frustration thinking that we're suffering as no other Christian has suffered. But probably Christians in our generation have suffered less than Christians in almost any generation. May I remind you that since Jesus established the church, more than 50 million Baptists have been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. So the next time you get to thinking it's rough, it's tough, just remember, You've not yet shed blood for Jesus. 50 million before you have. Stand, if you will, in Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin to read in verse number 13 and read through verse 32. It is resurrection day. And on this resurrection day, two disciples have heard from some of the ladies that Jesus has risen. But they have not seen him. And they're on their way to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 13, Luke chapter 24, and behold, two of the disciples, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. My, what a wonderful statement. It ought to be the desire of our heart that as we go through the journeys of life, Jesus will draw near to us and go with us. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have talked one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Oh, my dear friends, you don't understand everything the first time you hear it necessarily. You don't even understand everything the first time the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart. But you tarry with him. You stay under the preaching of the Word of God. You stay under the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And your eyes too will be opened. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Oh, the joy of knowing Jesus. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to use that verse for the basis of our message this morning. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? I want to talk to you this morning about keeping the fire burning. Did not our heart burn within us? By the way, is your heart on fire for Christ today? If you're saved, at one time it was. What's been allowed to put out the fire? I want to speak to you about keeping the fire burning. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to be very plain and understandable so that we might hear the Word of God and give you an opportunity to deal with our hearts. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, would you do your work in this service? Walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium. Stop by every pew. Start with this preacher and every person in here. Would you stir their heart and set it on fire today for Jesus Christ? Now, Lord, I need your help. Would you please fill me with thy Holy Spirit? Help me to be thy voice, thy instrument, thy servant that you can use to stir a fire burning in the hearts of those who are your children and see those who are unsaved today to come to that place where they accept you as their Savior. We'll thank you in advance for every decision that shall be made today, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Jesus had just risen from the grave on that resurrection Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Herod Stewart, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women came to the tomb early in the morning to find it empty. They returned from the sepulcher to tell Peter and the apostles the news that the tomb was empty and that Jesus had risen from the dead. Our message today deals with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They had not seen the risen Lord, but as they walked on their way, the resurrected Christ appeared to them and began to walk with them. They didn't recognize him. Hey, I wonder how many times Christ deals with our heart and speaks to us and we don't even recognize him. We're not living close enough to understand his presence. As they walked, the disciples were discouraged, and their conversation was that of discouragement. And having heard them, the risen Lord said, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Hey, my dear friend, we as Christians have every reason to be living on the mountaintop and to be rejoicing. Our sins have been forgiven. Heaven is our home. The only thing we'll ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible, if we know that we're saved. This is not the time for discouragement. Learn to face your problems with Jesus. Learn to walk in the will of God. And even when you go through the tough times, you can still rejoice knowing that he's still God and he's promised to work all things together for our good and his glory. For them that love God, them are the called according to his purpose. They begin to tell the Lord about Jesus and how they crucified him in Jerusalem. And they told Jesus how they thought that he is going to set up his kingdom and redeem Israel and rule over Israel. And now he was dead. Their dreams had been dashed. By the way, Jesus never told them that he was going to do that. Over and over again, he told them he was going to be crucified. But he told them after 3 days and 3 nights, he was going to be raised from the dead. But they didn't hear what he said. They hear what they wanted to hear. I find that still happening. You come to church and you hear only what you want to hear, not necessarily what the preacher's saying. Or you listen about 20% of the time and you get bits and pieces and you put it together and wonder why the preacher said that. And he didn't say that. You didn't hear it. Well, at that point, Jesus began to speak to them. He began to teach them the word. And I love this. He taught them the word of God beginning at Moses. You say, what does that mean? Moses' books, Genesis. And he began and taught them all the way up to the present, all of the prophecies concerning himself. Wow. We've just been through a Revelation conference every night, 2 hours a night, teaching on the book of the Revelation. My, what a blessed meeting that was. But could you even imagine what it would have been like to hear Jesus teach the scriptures from Genesis all the way up to his life and teach all of the scriptures pertaining to himself? Oh, my soul. And then we come to our text. Verse 32, and they said, and by the way, he revealed himself to them. They realized it was Jesus. And then he disappeared, and our text says, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? You see, there was a fire started in every one of us when we got saved. And that fire must be kept burning by us throughout our Christian life if we're going to be the kind of Christian God intends for us to be. God intends for His fire, the fire of the Spirit of God and the presence of God, to burn within us. I'm talking about the excitement of His presence, the holiness of His presence, the seriousness of His presence, the exciting evidence of His presence, the comfort of His presence, the direction of His presence. I'm talking about a heart set on fire for the cause of God. Did not our hearts burn within us? And that starts in every one of us. I've never met a person that got saved that if they truly got saved, were not excited about getting saved. I've never had anybody tell me, man, I'm sorry I got saved. When the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, when God redeems us and forgives us and seals us and fills us, there is a warmth, a fire, a burning in our heart from His presence in us. Oh, my soul, how do you describe it? But it's our job to keep that fire going. Keep feeding the fire. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if a fire is not fed, it goes out. I don't mean that you'll lose your salvation. I mean you'll lose the joy. You'll lose the warmth. You'll lose the presence and the power and the thrill of His presence in you. In the Old Testament, when God gave Moses the instruction for building the tabernacle with the brazen altar for sacrifice and the golden altar for the incense, God started the fire on the brazen altar. And it was fire from that altar that was to be used on the golden altar. And once God started that fire, it was the responsibility of the priest to keep that fire burning. Remember, God killed Nadab and Abihu because they chose not to use that fire, but to use strange fire. I'm afraid that the only fire burning in some Christian's heart today is strange fire. It's not His presence. It's not His power. It's not His Holy Spirit. But we have a responsibility of keeping that fire burning. Is there a fire burning in your heart today? Is there the warmth of His presence there? What's necessary to keep that fire burning? Just very quickly this morning, there must be salvation's experience before that fire can burn. You got to be able to know that you know that you know that you're saved if there's going to be a fire from God burning in your heart. No false fire, no strange fire is accepted, no wild fire. It's the fire He starts burning when you accept Christ as Savior. It's the presence of God indwelling you. It's the power of God filling you. It's the Word of God assuring you that you're a child of God. These things have I written to you that them that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. And nobody gets saved until they realize they're lost. I'm amazed that people in religion all over the world have grown up in religions and have never been saved. And if you ask them today, are you lost? They'd say, well, I'm a church member. Nobody gets saved until they realize they're lost. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're all under the penalty of death and the curse. The wages of sin is death. God goes on to say, if you say you have not sinned, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We got our sin nature from our daddies, and when we got old enough to make choices of our own, we chose to sin. We're sinners. Because we're sinners, we're separated from God, and we need a Savior. The only fire burning in the heart of the unsaved person is the fire of lust and carnality and worldliness and greed. There is no fire of God burning in the unsaved person. God has no part of you. Jesus said, if you're not saved, you are of your father the devil. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as Savior. John chapter 3, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that spiritual kingdom we enter into by faith in Jesus Christ through the new birth. You're not a child of God if you got sprinkled, you got baptized. Are you joined a religion? You're a child of God only after you've been born again. That born again is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone to forgive your sins and save your soul. It was not religion that died for us. It was not religion that was nailed to the cross. It was Jesus. Salvation's not a church. It's not a preacher. It's not a plan. It's not even a book. It's a person, Jesus Christ. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Personally, definitely, and individually. You say, but I've heard about Him all of your life, all of my life. That's not good enough. You must take that knowledge, that hearing, and turn it to trust and dependence. You must call upon Him. You want to be saved, know it, ask Him. Just ask Him. Father, would you forgive me and come into my heart and save me like you promised? Just ask Him. Well, He's so certain and so ready to save. If you are sincere in asking, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's never going to be a fire burning in your heart until you've been born again. You're never going to have that warmth of His presence. You're not going to have the peace of assurance of salvation. You're never going to be able to put your head on the pillow at night and go to bed knowing it's all right if you don't wake up in the morning. You're saved. Heaven's your home. You're never going to have peace with God. The Bible tells us that without Christ, we're at enmity. We're enmity with God. God is the enemy of the unsaved person. He's not our Savior until we accept Him. God is not your heavenly Father until you're born into His family. And the new birth takes place only when you accept Jesus as Savior. You say, but what do I do to bring about the new birth? No more than what the baby did to bring about his physical birth. He had no part in his conception. He had no part in his birth. He just got born again. Now, there comes a time when he's ready to be born. He wants to be born. He's going to be born. Okay? There comes a time when God speaks to our heart and puts that want to in us to be saved. But God does the saving. What's my part? Accepting the gift. Accepting the gift. Use the faith God's given you and trust Him. Turn that faith into a simple prayer and ask Him. Peter had enough faith to ask God to bid him to come unto him and he'd walk on the water.
Amen.
And he had enough faith to say that to God. And you know what God said, Peter? Come on.
Amen. Yeah.
Come on. Now, Peter started to sink, but he reached out and saved him. And God has given you enough faith to want to be saved. He's given you enough faith to know that you're a sinner. And He's given you enough faith to ask Him to save you.
That's right.
And if you'll just ask Him, using what faith you have, He has promised that whosoever, Jane, John, Bill, Sue, Mary, whatever your name is, whoever you are, however old you are, if you'll just ask Him, He'll forgive you.
That's right.
Peter didn't have any power to walk on the water. He took more steps than me or you have ever taken on the water. Don't major on his failure. Ought to be excited about the few steps he took. That's more than I've taken. He didn't have any power to do that. He got it from God. Then when he looked at the waves and saw the problems, he began to sink and God saved him. God saved him. May I say to you, in our Christian life, God says, if you'll just bid me, I'll save you. If you'll just ask me, I'll save you. Just believe upon me. Believe that I died for your sins and rose again for your justification. Just believe and ask me and I'll save you. You say, but what if I start to falter? He'll pick you up. He'll pick you up. And may I say to you, you will falter. There'll be times you'll get to looking at yourself and think, man, I don't have the power to do this, but it's not your power, it's His. There'll be times you'll stump your toe and He'll pick you up. Help you get started again. Just trust Him. Just ask Him. The only fire that's burning in some of your hearts today is the fire of lust and greed and carnality and worldliness because you know nothing about Jesus as Savior. But oh my soul, when you know Him, when your sins are forgiven, when you're saved, you're a child of God. Heaven is your home. The record books have been blotted clean by the blood of Jesus and you're a new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God has indwelled you. God now lives within you. What? No, you're not. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You'll know what it is to say with these. My heart doth burn within me. And you get into the Word of God and you begin to read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in you begins to help you to understand and you'll say, oh my soul, my heart doth burn within me. You'll go to prayer and you'll get on your knees and you get to talking to God and it seems like you can feel His breath. You say, oh my soul, my heart doth burn within me. You get out and learn how to be a witness and you tell your friends about Jesus and one bows their head and accepts Christ as Savior and you'll say, oh, my heart doth burn within me. None of that ever happens until you've been born again.
Amen.
Even in baseball, if you miss first base, you're out. First base is trusting Jesus. You never come home until you make it to first base. First base is trusting Jesus. It's trusting Jesus. Don't try to skip Calvary. Try to bypass the altar of salvation and think that it's going to be all right. See, the world is saying, oh, you need to be religious. You need a book. Every religion has a book. Satan's got counterfeits for everything God has. The world says, just join a church and get baptized. Doesn't make any difference what church, just join a church and get baptized. Be sincere. Hell's going to be full of people that joined the church, got baptized, and were sincere. But they never trusted Christ. The only fire they're going to know is the fire of the flesh in this life and the fire of hell in eternity. Oh, what a wonder of wonders when you trust Him. When you simply, as a lost sinner, accept Him as Savior. Ask Him to forgive you and save you. Tell Him you're a sinner and deserve to go to hell. Tell Him you don't want to go to hell. You want to be saved.
Amen.
And the best you know how, ask Him to be your Savior. And He's promised all that will come unto me, I'll cast not even one of them out. Whew, what a Savior.
Amen.
And once you get saved, then you can rejoice. And you can say, did not my heart burn within me. I'll tell you one thing, when you get saved, church takes on a new meaning. Hey, there's a reason why you don't like church. The one who makes church real and exciting doesn't live in here. There's a reason your kids don't like church. There's a reason your husband don't want to come, or the wife don't want to come. It all begins with the new birth. It all begins with trusting Jesus. Have you been there? Have you accepted Him? Do you know what it is to have His sweet presence in you? He's not just a story. He's not just a message. He is a real person who now lives in you.
Amen.
As your Savior, your God, your hope, your peace. Have you trusted Him? If not, you need to do it today. I'll finish the message tonight, but I'm out of time. You've got to start with a starting point. The fire's got to be started by God within you. And that fire begins in us when we accept His Son as our Savior. Heavenly Father, we sure do love You. And every day we live, we realize how much more we need You. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving to us a no-so salvation. That means a salvation that we can have and know it. Thank You for